السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, the nikahs which took place, it is not something that is new. We all are familiar. We have been attending nikahs which take place in the masajid, and we all are aware that it takes just a few minutes to perform a nikah. Because Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam declared nikah as his way of life, because he said that it is my sunnat. So Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, I have mentioned many times on the occasion of nikah, that Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, because he was rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto all the worlds. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he says that this is my way of life, and he wants us also to adopt that way of life, so then he cannot make a thing difficult for the ummah. Because in the ummah they are going to be rich, they are going to be the poor. They are going to be those who can afford spending large amounts of money, and those who cannot afford. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was mercy for the black, for the white. He was a mercy for all the worlds. So therefore, his sunnat also will be something that will be practical, that will be easy, that will not be difficult on anyone in the ummah. So this nikah also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he declared it as his sunnat. There is no time to go into detailed discussion about nikah itself, but just one or two points which come to mind. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he declared it as his sunnat, as his way of life, and with the permission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he was allowed a number of wives. So the person who was the busiest of all, the person who was the most engaged in dawah activities, as we call it in these days, inviting towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person who was at all times under threat whilst he was in Madina Tayyiba, the threat continued from Makkah Sharif, the Kuffar, the Mushrikeen, and afterwards the Yahud, the Munafiqeen. From all sides there was so much of threat that we will wipe out Islam and we will destroy the Muslims, and wars were waged against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but yet his marriages did not affect his spirituality. That is the point. That in all the other religions, the woman was given absolutely no status. In fact, some said that she is poison, some said she is a snake, some were even doubting whether she is a human being. And we all know that pre-Islamic times, how they used to bury their daughters alive, and so many other type of disgraceful and humiliating treatment they used to give out to these women. So at that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, by this institution of marriage, gave them a position of honor. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, by his own practice and his own action, showed to the world that it is that this marriage and nikah does not affect your spirituality. In fact, it increases your spirituality. Therefore, if a person loves his wife tremendously, it does not mean that this person has become a murid of his wife. Sometimes when they look at the Ahlullah giving extremely good treatment to their wives, in fact helping them and assisting them even in their household cause, then at that time sometimes the people get a doubt that it seems like this person is a murid of his wife, but it is not that. They have taken the cue from no one else but our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to milk the goats, he used to assist Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha even in the cleaning of the house. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to sometimes stitch his own clothes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never acted in the house like a president of the country or some great secretary of some institution or somebody of a very high post and position. In the home, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam entered with a smile. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam always entered the home with a smile, teaching us a lesson that all our problems of the office, all our problems of the outside world, when we return home, then we must leave those problems outside. With the wives, we must come down to ground level. We must behave with them in the manner that is befitting that of a husband. Because the husband is a friend to the wife. We all say that the husband and wife are companions in life. Then what does companion mean? Does not companion have any rights? At present, all these women's liberation groups and all the demands that are being made, the major cause of that is that we as Muslims have not demonstrated to the world what true Islam is. The amount of cases that are before the courts of law where injustices have been done to the women folk, because of that, the people think that there is Islam does not give any rights to the wife. Of course, again, I repeat that there are lots of rights that the husbands also enjoy. And unfortunately, one thing that the women cannot keep under control is their tongues. And these tongues cause great mischief. And as a result, there are lots of quarrels and disputes and arguments. I do not deny that. But I repeat that I am addressing an audience or a congregation of men folk. So here, if I am going to tell you that these are the rights of the husband, then you will take that book and go home and read it out to the wife, that this is what Maulana said, that if there was anybody that could have been ordered to make sajda to anyone, then Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have ordered the wife to make sajda to the husband. So therefore, now whatever I say, if I say it's night, whereas it's bright light, then you must say it's night. And if I ask you to stand on one leg the whole night, then you must do so, because that's my right. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So here I am addressing a congregation of men folk. So we have to find out what are the rights of those women so that our lives can also become peaceful on this earth. Remember that in the Quran Sharif also Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses, and he says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَزُرِّيَّةً. Say here. That Allah Ta'ala talks that before you, O Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I also sent many Nabis and I gave them wives and children, showing that all those Nabis of the past, they also had wives and children. Excepting for Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he will come down again, then it is reported that he will marry, he will also have children, then he will die a natural death, and then he will be buried next to Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam in Madina Tayyibah. So he too will then marry. So right from Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time until Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam's time, Allah Ta'ala says that all the prophets, we gave them wives and children. And this Allah Ta'ala is talking by way of his ihsan, that see what I did, I gave these people wives and children, proving to the world that wives and children are not an obstruction in the spiritual progress of a person, but conditional that these wives and these children, when they demand anything that is against the Sharia, or if our muhabbat and our love for them is so great that we go out of our way to fulfill every demand of theirs, even though it may be against the will of Allah, against the hukam of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that is the condition, that we must not go to that extent. But if within the parameters of Sharia, we go out of our way to please them, then it is something that gives the person rewards and sawab. Now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's one beautiful incident. It is something that teaches us a lesson, and it was not done without any reason. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have just drunk the water from anywhere, from that utensil. But he did it for a reason, because at that time the women had absolutely no rights. And they were ignored totally, and they were treated as cattle, they were treated as doormats. At that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she drank water from one utensil. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked her to leave a little for him. When she left a little bit of water for him, whether it was water or milk, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took that utensil, and then he asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that from which section of this utensil did you drink? So she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I drank from this section. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took that section and put it to his lips. Wow. Now what was this? Showing the muhabbat that the husband should have for the wife. That does not affect your spirituality. In fact, it protects you. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has said that why should a person marry? He said, Ya mashara shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj, fa innahu aghaddu lil-basar wa ahsanu lil-farj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that, oh, you assembly of youth, whoever from amongst you has the ability, the physical ability, the monetary ability to marry, then the person should get married, because it is the means of protecting your gaze from looking at haram. I'm just giving you the meaning of that hadith, that it is a great protection for the gaze being cast at haram. It will lower your gaze, and it will be a protection of your chastity. I mentioned in some other bayan somewhere, that whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said is the truth, and nothing but the truth. Now we say that in these times, the major complaint of women is, my husband is involved with another woman. This is the major complaint. And all these newspapers who go around taking surveys and doing interviews with those husbands who have got two wives, they should be going and doing interviews with all those women whose husbands have illicit relationship with 100 women. But they don't go and do that survey and that investigation. Otherwise, if you take the non-Muslim communities or those who are not believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then they say we have got one wife, but they've got so many mistresses. So why don't they go and do those surveys? Now here Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was wisdom in it, that there was permissibility given, that due to certain circumstances, if there is a need, then the person gets married. There are, of course, conditions, etc. But what I am saying is this, that the person who is married, at least the person is protected from haram. Now here we say that the major complaint of the women today is that our husbands are involved with other women. So now does this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, na'uzu billah, go wrong?
No.
It doesn't go wrong. We have to look at where did we go wrong. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he mentioned this, then he was talking about true believers. That if a true believer gets married, then Allah Ta'ala has given him a way for the satisfaction of his carnal desire in a halal manner. Now this person, if he doesn't behave like an animal, then inshallah he will be protected. He will be protected, his chastity will be protected. But if he goes close to zina all the time, if he is close to zina all the time, which kitab or which book or which law of the government says that you have to have a young, scantily dressed secretary in your office to work with you in the privacy of your office room? Does it say in any law? But take our Muslims across the board, pious people with beards, and those who are namazis, and those who claim to be people who are God-fearing, but they too subject themselves to this kind of temptation 24 hours of the day. Then if they don't get involved, what else do you expect? Brothers, I speak things very openly, but it is with deep-hearted pain that I speak, because we are dealing with these type of cases every day. So what I am saying is that if you are going to be subjected to such kind of temptation all the time, then it will lead you into trouble. I have mentioned many times that during the school days, may Allah make us maaf, but those days when we listened to the songs, there was one song in which the singer was singing. He says, for temptation will lead you into trouble and it will make you cry. Whatever he said, it is the truth, that when the person is going to be led by temptation, then he'll get into trouble. After that, he will have to cry, his wife will have to cry, his children will have to cry, and sometimes the society has to cry, because it leads to suicides, it leads to murders, it leads to killing, and it leads to so many other dangerous situations. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that get married. Of course, if a person does not have the ability, for whatever reason, then he should be a little patient, he should fast. But if he gets married, if he's got sufficient amount and gets married, and his niyat is also protection of his chastity, of his purity, then Allah Ta'ala will open the doors for him. We have seen many people who are poor, whom we call battlers, but after they got married, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opened the doors, and some of them became great business people, and some of them became owners of big properties. It was the barakat of their marrying with the intention of protecting themselves from haram. So this marriage is such an institution that the person who is an individual, the person who was living a bachelor's life, he had absolutely no responsibilities. There was no concern of any kind. Most of the time they are fed and brought up by the parents, and they live in the homes without any responsibilities. Now this person got married, so he has taken upon himself great responsibilities. So his earning also is considered to be jihad at times. That this person who is going out and is earning for those 5 children of his, and for the payment of his rent, light and water accounts, so he has to go early in the morning, he returns in the evening tired, and exhausted, and he brings halal food and places on the table for those children, this is considered to be fi sabilillah and jihad according to hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His salat, this person's salat, he gets the reward of 70 salat according to some hadith, and 21 times salat according to another hadith, because this person has now got responsibilities. So Allah Ta'ala looks at this person with an eye of happiness that this young person got married for the protection of his chastity and for the protection of his purity. So this is my message in every bayan, that at present it seems that any person that you talk to, they say, we are not ready. Why you are not ready? Because we do not afford, or we cannot afford, the expenses that will be incurred in the marriage. And what are those expenses? A lavish feast, a hall, this, that, that, and by the time the person ends up counting, it's run into 100,000, now he doesn't have the money. Whereas nikah is extremely simple and easy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's every hukam, it is ashal, ajmal and akmal. It is very, very easy, it is very beautiful, and it is perfect. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself encouraged this institution of nikah. The reason why we have so much of illegitimate children in the world today is that this institution of nikah or marriage in other communities is almost dead. You can live as lovers for years and years. You can even have children. And as I say that after they've given, the woman has given birth to half a dozen children, then they announce with great satisfaction that now we are announcing our engagement. After they've got half a dozen children, they're talking about engagement. So this is the situation that we find ourselves in. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us a deen which is pure, which is perfect. There is nothing but purity in it. Modesty and chastity, these are things which Islam emphasizes upon. Morality and honesty and what we term as good behavior and character, these are teachings of Islam which we have forsaken. And as a result, the outside world does not know what is the difference between a young Muslim who gets married and a person who is not a Muslim getting married. Or they cannot differentiate between a young Muslim who indulges in fornication, he moves around freely with that girl at the university and the college, and after 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, when they are ready, then they are going to get married. But in the meantime, they caught day and night. So they can't make out any difference. They say, what is the difference between the Muslim? I mentioned, I think, two or three Jumas ago, that the Muslim student, we don't say he must leave the university. We don't say he must leave the college. We need scientists, we need doctors, we need professors, and we need scholars. We need everybody in our community. But this Muslim student must be an ideal example for the others that are at the university. That when this student is going to walk, he will walk with lowered gaze. The girls will try to induce, they will try to entice him. They will try to seduce him. They will try to attract him. But they will see that this handsome young boy, who could have had 100 girls in the university chasing after him, but he is walking with lowered gaze. When they ask him that, why are you walking with lowered gaze? Why are you not like one of the other students that are here? And yet you've got Allah Ta'ala has given you beauty, you are handsome, and you've got everything going for you. Then he says, I am a Muslim, and I believe in one thing, and that is what my Allah Ta'ala has said, what you hear in the nikah khutbah every time. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqati. Fear Allah as He should be feared. And wala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. And do not die except in a state of Islam. So here nobody else could be watching. But my Allah is watching. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. No doubt Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is watching. And He is the one that has given me this beauty. He is the one who has given me the beautiful eyes and the beautiful face and the health. And He is the one who has blessed me with the intelligence that I'm doing my BCom and I'm doing my MSc and I'm doing my all other degrees. I'm trying to achieve those degrees. Now that Allah, how can I be disobedient to Him? He has said that either I get married, His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that either I get married, or if I cannot get married, then I must fast. But there is no way that He has allowed me to indulge in any kind of extramarital relationship or a relationship outside before marriage or after marriage with somebody that is a stranger. Now this person now will become an attraction, that this is something different. Now we must find out from him then what is Islam, because this person is talking about a beautiful deen, that there's morality in there, that he does not create havoc and misery for another woman, because so many of them have made the lives of those girls miserable, that they led them up the grapevine, making them believe that finally they will be marrying them. And at the end of the day, they say, I'm marrying somebody else. And then we get telephone calls we want to know, is this person a good Muslim? Because he says he prays 5 times a day. And he gave me the impression that he was going to get married to me. And he dumped me like a hot potato. Now these are the things that happen. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that get married. The Quran Sharif talks about those people who are married in glorious terms. Nabi Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Now this dua which is on the lips of every Muslim. Now here one of the tafsirs of فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً, one of the tafsirs that, oh Allah, in this world also give me hasana, is that a woman who is pious and righteous. That is the tafsir of hasana. Then again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Again, there's no time to go into the details, but here again the person is making dua that of our wives and children, oh Allah, give us those who will be the coolness and satisfaction of our eyes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the most loving and caring as far as wives and children were concerned. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in spite of all his activities and all the pressure that was upon him, but he never made that as an excuse for any kind of injustice to the wife or to the children. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam treated them in the most humane and most beautiful manner. And in fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very tolerant. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, sometimes out of love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, she used to say certain things, which if we have to say, it will border on the lines of kufr. But Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, because of her love for Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, she might have, outwardly it seems as if she back answered him, but it was not back answering. It was out of love that Hazrat Aisha said certain things. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not say her anything. He was tolerant. So this is something that we have to learn, that all these liberation groups and societies, they all will fade by the way if we have to fulfill the rights of our wives. Of course, as I said, there are lots of rights that the husbands also enjoy. But we have made the mistake in the majority of the cases. And I have no hesitation in saying that when the person gets married, he is young. At that time, he wants to take her to the cinemas, to the theaters, and he wants to show her porn movies, and he wants to take her to the other haram institutions. And after some time now, when all his josh settles, now he comes, gets a little bit of hosh, now he wants to change. Now when he begins to change, he cannot sometimes make the wife change along with him. And as a result, there's a clash and there's an argument. So from the first day, the person must make up his mind that I want to follow the Sharia, I want to give my wife all her rights. And not only rights, I want to give her even more than that. I want to make ihsan upon her. Father. Because that is the only way you will win her. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us that the only way that you can win the person is by means of ihsan. That you don't go by the book of rights, that this is my right and this is your right. You say, what is my duty? What is my obligation? And not only that, I will go one step further and I will make ihsan upon my wife. Then that wife will also love the person. Then with regards to in-laws, which is a major problem these days, if we only learn one usul, and that is that if the husband thinks that I have got now two fathers and two mothers, and if the wife thinks that I have got now two fathers and two mothers, then there's absolutely no problem. That means the husband goes out of his way to please his own parents and the parents of the wife, and the wife goes out of her way to please her parents and the parents of her husband. Then there is no problem at all. And also at the time of selection of the husband, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُم مَّن تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوا إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُن فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيضٌ. That if somebody comes and puts a proposal for your daughter, or for your niece, or for anyone that you have got some authority over, then if you are happy with that person's deen, and you are happy with his character, then get him married. If you are not going to do that, it's going to create widespread dissension and disunity on the earth, and chaos and friction, and all kinds of disaster and problems. Because now it's going to lead to zina. Now at this time in our lives, or in this stage in our society's lives, we find so many problems, we do not know which one. They say, oont re oont teri konsi kal sidi. Oh camel, which part of your body is straight? That is our condition today. That there are young boys who have got deen in them, who have got akhlaq and character in them. Now when they go for a proposal, then the considerations that are given are totally different, and the proposals are rejected. And there are many a times the woman, a good proposal come, it is rejected for other reasons. Both ways it is. Sometimes the boys are not interested in getting married, sometimes the girls are not interested in getting married. But that opens the doors, the floodgates of zina, it opens the floodgates of haram, and then we know what kinds of problems we are facing, how much of abortions are taking place and all the rest of it. So this nikah is a very, very blessed institution. It's a very mubarak thing. It is an ibadat. It is not just some kind of a joke that you get married today and think that it's kind of some kind of a joke. It's great acceptance of some great responsibility. and if the person has got taqwa in him. Therefore, all those ayats of the Quran Sharif, or the majority of them, wherever the rights of husbands or wives are given, wherever the rights are given, then at that time you'll always find somewhere along the line taqwa, that fear Allah. That's the only thing that can restrain a person, that I can get away from my family, might not come to know that I have done injustice. The society can come to know I haven't done injustice, or the relatives and family members may think that I'm treating my wife very, very nicely and well. In the meantime, I'm doing terrible injustice to her. But if this person has got taqwa, that my Allah is watching every action, and on the day of judgment, I'm answerable, I'm accountable, then that will restrain this person. And that was the message of this month of Ramadan, which just went by, that we restrain ourselves from anything that is haram. Not only food and drink, injustice of any kind, we restrain ourselves. If we have to just open the chapter of rights of husbands and wives, then only we will understand Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's greatness, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wisdom, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's being rahmatul lil alameen for each and every person in the society. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless these marriages. Ameen. With barakat. May Allah ta'ala unite their hearts in love and muhabbat for each other. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala unite the families. And may Allah ta'ala make it the means of good and pious children coming into this world who will be assets to our community. May Allah unite them strongly on the basis of deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.